Good morning, Sower Nation. It is Monday, August 24th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm Mark Benjamin, and this is your wake-up call. I'm grateful to be your guest host today and again tomorrow on the wake-up call. What a joy it was to hear our dear friend Matt Leroy as our guest contributor last week. I've known Matt for almost 25 years, and I'm grateful for his depth of teaching and his humility. Also excited about his upcoming study with his friend Jeremy called How to Plant an Orchard, and it's available for pre-sale now. For those of you who don't know me, I am Mark. JD has been a dear friend and mentor to me, with me, for over 20 years, and we have co-labored together at Seedbed since near its beginning in 2012. Are you ready for our daily meeting with Jesus? Let's begin with our prayer of consecration. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. And I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return on their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls down and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Consider this. Growing up, I watched a TV show called The A-Team. Whenever I read this passage, I hear Mr. T's trademark line, "I pity the fool." Specifically, "I pity the fool who falls down and has no one to help them up." If you hear nothing else I say today, carry these four words with you. Don't climb mountains alone. There are many reasons why you should not climb a mountain alone, but primarily it is because it is both difficult and dangerous. Trouble is not just possible, it's inevitable. And I apparently needed to learn this the hard way. Before I tell you the story, I want to say it again emphatically. Do not climb mountains alone. I once got lost hiking on a mountain in Haiti. I didn't set out to hike alone. It was the descent where all the trouble began. We were unprepared. We were told it was a simple 2-hour round-trip hike. We didn't bring enough water. My U.S.-based team had the sense to turn back much sooner, but I was more determined, or perhaps more delusional. I reached the summit with a few local teenagers. It took 3 hours. The math wasn't mathing. Neither was my 32 ounces of water, which was gone before I reached the top. And at the summit, I took a few photos, but something in me knew if I didn't get down quickly, I was in serious danger. In my haste, I got ahead of my group and apparently took a left fork on the trail where I should have gone right. Within about an hour, I was in remote, unfamiliar, and uninhabited terrain. The heat was sweltering, and I was officially dehydrated. Reality started to set in. I was lost. And as a self-proclaimed problem solver, I tried to think my way out of it. Doubling back would have made sense, but I was officially too exhausted to do so. I could not believe it. I was 34 years old and lost in the woods in a foreign country, alone, dehydrated, and real fear came over me. Have you ever truly been dehydrated? Athletes, I'm not one of them, call it bonking. The moment your body forces you to stop moving through a series of system failures. I bonked. I wasn't naked and afraid. I was lost and alone. And I needed serious help. Pity the fool who falls down and has no one to help them up. Don't climb mountains alone has become a mantra for me. When life gets difficult, and it always does, I am very prone to go it alone. And every time I do, I end up lost or things manage to get worse. On a deeper level, this is a metaphor for life. We cannot walk this path of life solo. On your own, the writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us, you are a simple strand of thread, easily broken. But with a few others, you are a cord of three strands and not easily broken. Have you ever considered that the original sin was an invitation to go it alone? The serpent's temptation began with, did God really say, Genesis 3:1? Maybe you should just go see for yourself. And we go on our own way, and wham, devastation. In the book Life Together, Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, sin demands to have a man, of course, or a woman, by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his or her isolation. We enter the world completely dependent, right? Babies. Just little babies. But we eventually convince ourselves that adulting means going it alone. It is one of the worst snares of life. That day on the mountain, I had to do the unthinkable. At first, I just said the words out loud for my own ears to hear them. I need help. Then I said it a little louder. I need help. And then I shortened it simply to yell out, help! Nothing. I had to muster up the courage to scream at the top of my lungs for help. And after what felt like minutes of yelling help over and over and over and over again without hearing anything back, I heard a very faint call back. It was just enough motivation to get my legs, which were shaky, moving again. Down and to the right, through the thick jungle, no trail. For the next 30 minutes, I yelled and they yelled back and forth to one another until I was reunited with the group. I was too unwell to be embarrassed, though of course I was. My ordeal wasn't over yet. The group had no water either. I wish I had time to tell you the whole story, but let me just say that about an hour later down the mountain, and I was suffering, we asked a child, a small child, and his mother if they could help us. The child, I kid you not, climbed barefoot into a very tall coconut tree with a machete that his mother gave him. It was the best $20 I've ever spent, and I've never been so grateful for coconuts. But I was deeply grateful to the people who got me off that mountain. I was 34 years old when this happened to me. You wouldn't believe it if I told you, but I'm gonna tell you that very year, 2014, through that very humbling experience, I decided to ask a couple of men in my life for help. We started a band meeting. We didn't know how to do it, but we started anyway. And that journey formed the seeds of what led us to start discipleship bands at Seedbed. I've got a link if you're on the email. Don't climb mountains alone. Life is too difficult and dangerous. We must band together. Let's pray. Jesus, give us the courage to admit that we need help. Give us the tenacity to refuse to go it alone. Would you help us, Jesus, to have the vulnerability it takes to ask others to walk with us on this path called life? May we not be those found fallen in a pit without anyone around to help. Help us, Jesus, to band together. Amen. The journal prompts. Have you ever been in a situation in life where you felt truly alone? How did you get out of it? Are there places in your life currently where you find yourself going it alone? How might you invite others in? Well, I want to share a little bit more about this moment in my life. I was 34 years old. I was born in 1980, and I'm 46 today. At 34 years old, I came to an honest realization. The realization was this: the primary struggles, the primary sin patterns, if I'm honest, that I had in my life at 19 when I got serious about Jesus, were still very present in my life at 34. 15 years had gone by, 15 years of attending church and being in small groups, 15 years of addressing some of my brokenness in therapy, all good things. 15 years of study. I went to Bible college. I went to seminary. That's where I met JD. I was serving in a local church. But the truth was, there were places in my life that I hadn't let people in, that I hadn't really been fully honest about. And I found myself gritting my teeth, going alone, of course, confessing to God as those things happened, but finding myself with the same present struggles. I really wasn't becoming the person that I wanted to become, the husband, the father, the friend, the human being, the love that I wanted to become. And around that same year, coinciding with this humbling physical incident on the mountain, I was very, very ill. And I was very close to not making it down. I don't know if they airlift there, but I was, that was the vision in my mind. I'm so close to collapse that I'm going to be airlifted off of this mountain. I didn't mention it, but I also was about 100 pounds heavier than I am right now, which is another story for another day. But it was the truth. And there was something that kind of happened in my spirit when I called out for help. I can't explain it. It was something the Spirit did. But when I called out for help in the woods alone, something in me, which was the sort of vow or agreement that I had made when I was a kid, that I would go it alone because life was hard and people let me down, people disappointed me, I just said somewhere along the way, I'm just going to go it alone. And in that moment in the woods, for whatever reason, when I called out, my something in my spirit broke. And later that year, by the grace of God, it was our very first New Room conference. And I heard, I believe it was Kevin Watson, I think Phil Meadows was there. They were talking about Howard Snyder's book, The Radical Wesley, and they just said a sentence or two about Wesley's band meeting. I had heard about it before, but something about it struck me. And I said to myself, maybe that's what I need. Maybe I really need to get honest, deeper, more deeply honest with a couple other guys. And I read the book after the conference, went home. In those days, I was just a volunteer helping out JD at New Room. And I said to a couple of friends of mine, Stan and Mike, I said, guys, I don't know how to do this, but there's these old questions. They were written, you know, sketched out by John Wesley, probably on a napkin in 1839. I'm sorry, 1739. He had borrowed the idea when he witnessed it at Herrnhut, the Moravian community in Eastern Germany. He borrowed it from them. He adapted it. And they just started these same gender groups, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. And the point of gathering like that was, we're going to get honest. We're going to James 5:16 this thing. We're going to confess our sins to one another, and we're going to pray for one another that we may be healed. And we started. And after about a year of doing that, I'm a pragmatist. I just thought, you know, these questions are good. They are. There's great wisdom, historic wisdom in them. And I just said, but I find them a little bit clunky, a little hard to answer. And if I'm honest, they're a little sin-centric. And I've got more than just sin in my life. I got struggles, man. I got to lose weight. I got problems, just life problems, you know. And I went to JD. And, you know, as you sometimes do to your mentors, I asked him an honest question. I said, JD, do you think we could change these questions? And he was like, sure, let's do it. And so we did. We sketched out the first version of a band meeting, and then we shared it with some people. And I went off and tried it for a time with another group of guys. And it was April 8th, 2016. We were sitting in a Waffle House, JD and myself and another friend. And it was just sort of this moment of, hey, we've been talking about doing this. Like, should we do it? And we started. We took our little version that we had adapted from Wesley, and we just started living it out week in and week out. It was on a phone call. It was Friday mornings at 9:30. We did it for years at that time. And slowly but surely, the journey of just getting more honest with a couple of friends and just saying, I need you guys to know this about me. There's this place and that place, and this is an ongoing struggle, and this is a sin pattern. And I just ripped off the Band-Aid. I just did it. And so did they. And we would all tell you, you know, now a decade later, the transformation in our lives has been profound. It's been profound in mine. It's been profound in our dearly loved brother, JD. I've watched it just over this decade, just the way Jesus is forming in him and the person he's becoming. So I just commend it to you, not as something that we're selling. It's free. We give it away. It's the model itself is easy and it's simple. I'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. The hard part is the courage to just say, I really need some other people in my life. And that's what I wanted to convey to you today. I do want to invite you. We're 5 weeks away from New Room Conference. Our banner over this year's conference is Band Together. And in our opening session, JD and I will share this story in more depth and detail of bands and the impact that it's had on our lives and in the lives now, by the grace of God, and so many others who have come along. So, if you can make it, we would love to see you there. We're offering a discount code for a reduced registration. You can find that in the PS today. It's NRC Wake Up Altogether. And if you can't join us in person, of course, we would love for you to tune in on live stream. So, as JD often says, enough about that. Let's sing together. We're going to sing song number 37 from Our Great Redeemer's Praise, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, and we'll sing all three verses together. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, and streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above, and praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. And here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. And Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, and he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. And oh to grace, and oh to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. And let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. Amen, amen. For The Awakening, I'm Mark Benjamin, and I'll see you on the field.